Okay, we're recording. Ladies and gentlemen, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Young Israel of Hollywood, Fort Lauderdale, Rabbi Rakefert's final speech talk of this year. We are on Yud Gimel Teves, corresponding to December 31st, 2017. Without further ado, I present Rabbi Umori, Rabbi Rakefert.
Rabbi Avadya Yosef was, beyond any question, the leading posek of the post-World War II period. And a few weeks ago, maybe it's already 2 months ago, his family issued an 11th volume of his classic work, Yabia Omer, Shelo Tetshuvat Yabia Omer. He touches upon, in this volume, the most difficult problems that Rabbanim have faced throughout the millennium. Specifically, one area which haunts us in modern times is the area of Mamzerut. Now, if we're committed Jews, I take for granted you all have studied, we're committed Jews, the halacha is the halacha. We can't come along like certain movements today. Conservative, neoconservative in the state of Israel. There was David Hartman, and personal happiness overcomes halacha. There's no such concept. If you are a committed Jew, there's a divine system, and we're committed to living according to that divine system. If we take a different attitude, then we can wind up being Mechalo Shabbos, Ochlin Levetin Trefat, Boel Bilot Asurat, and before you know it, there's not a Jew left. And there's no greater example than the Western world. When I think back, when my family came 120 years ago, my wife's family is here 150 years, the fact that Malkar and I are good Jews and have, Baruch Hashem, many, many direct descendants, many generations, it's an Nes Min HaShemayim, a miracle. Now, when I went to Israel, I realized right away in 69 I'll never make a living. The entire economy was basically black. You never got a receipt. And I had the misfortune of working both for the government as a teacher, for the Jewish agency as a Rebbe. So my checks were quite in the open. Everything was taxed away. But I made up my mind, a living I won't make, but I want to know Kol HaTorah Kula. I admit I don't know Kol HaTorah Kula. I'll tell you a word from my Rebbe, Rav Soloveitchik. Why do we say a Talmud Chacham? If you ever think you became a Chacham, it shows you're a phony. You always have to be a Talmud striving to become a Chacham. So I admit I don't know Kol HaTorah Kula, but anyone who knows me these last 49 years knows I certainly have not stopped trying. Now, when the Kollel began, it let me free to set my own agenda what to teach. And this is basically why I stopped all my collegiate teaching about 20 years ago, because there I had to repeat classes year after year. I had to meet the needs of the students. On a postgraduate level, I teach myself. And if you want to listen, vavakasha. Now, I went into some of the most difficult areas, and this is my 8th volume. This volume, it's 370 pages in English, devoted to two topics. The classic Aguna and Mamzerut. And if anyone is interested in attaining it, David, so you can take contributions for Shvatami and contact David Toughness and make it available. I want to talk about Mamzerut today. Mamzerut is a horrendous concept. It goes against all Western law. It even goes against part of the Torah law. Look at the Medrash Rabbah. Look, I quote everything here. All the quotes are in here, 100%. You know, if that you ask me, where it may be B'shalach. I said Pashas, but it's B'shalach. Anyway, Mamzerut, what does Western law mean? Western law means people go to jail. You don't punish their children, right or wrong. You don't punish their parents. He did a sin, he goes to jail. That's Western law. Torah law is like that also. Lo yamutu banim al avot avot v'lo avot al banim. Why should I be punished for, if my students go to jail? I have a problem. If you know the Mishnah in Makot, Maglin HaRebbe, the Rav has to go teach them Torah in jail. So I unfortunately do have students in jail, but I've kept away from teaching them in jail. All right, let's not elaborate. No, Baruch Hashem. In Israel, there's never a problem. In America, my latest student sentenced to jail, they had mercy on him. They put him in a federal penitentiary where there's a minyan every day in Glaskosha, and the Kenan Zitzin and good letterman. Anyway, but Mamzeret is unbelievable. My father and mother sin. Let's say, for the sake of argument, an Eish Adish lives with another man, not her husband, and I'm a mamza, and I have to be punished. And what does it mean, a mamza? On one hand, a mamza, Talmud Chacham, is more important than a Kohen Gadol Amaretz. Right or wrong? On the other hand, a mamza can't marry a regular Jewish girl. He has to seek from mamzeret. Outside of that, he can't marry. All right. The Medrash already says that God views a mamza and he cries because he's being punished for sins that are not his. Halachically, and of course, Torah Shebichtav and Torah Shebab have to go hand in hand. Again, I'll quote over from my Rebbe, Rav Soloveitchik. If you read the Torah Shebichtav, it's very frightening. Every bad sin, mot yamut, right or wrong? And you go to the Torah Shebaal Peh, if they executed someone in 70 years, that Bacon was called a murderous Bacon. You follow? So the Rav explained that the Torah Shebichtav is the Midat Hadin, without mercy. And it's the way the law should be. Torah Shebaal Peh is Midat HaChesed. And it deals with human frailty. And this is why we want to scare someone. On the other hand, halacha l'maisa, we don't execute anyone. All right. Now you take Mamzeret. If you're familiar with the last perek in Kedushin, we do everything we possibly can within a halachic framework to be mater a mamza. And the Gemara at the end of Kedushin, it's the last perek, it deals with Juchasin, it's devoted to this very topic of personal status. Lo yavo mamza b'kal Hashem. A real mamza can't marry, but that's a mamza vadai. If there's a suffolk whether he's a mamza, then according to the Torah he's permitted. The rabbis already said, well, we're not so happy to permit a suffek, but if we can find an extenuating concept, then we do permit him. And this is the rabbinic tradition. And in my life, I have to be honest with you, I've only met one mamzer in my life. A very sad story, a Talmud of mine. And later I visited Australia and I got all the details. And this is one part of Torah that lo amaretz anochi. I'm not an ignoramus, and I said in Australia, give me the details. They said, Rebbe, the greatest poskim in the world dealt with it and couldn't come up with an answer. And the story there was very simple. The lady parents were traditional, insisted they get married with a proper rabbi. And she got married, and the old story, the contemporary issue that haunts us, no tiki, no washi. The Chinaman used to say when you brought your things to the cleaner, if you didn't have a ticket, you didn't get your wash back. No money, no gitti. If you don't put up money, you don't get a get. So she went to a reform rabbi who told her, tell your husband, go fly a kite. I'll remarry you without a get. What do you need a get for? And he remarried her, and she had a child with the second husband. And lo and behold, many years later, that child became a tremendous Talmud Chacham, a tremendous Ben Torah. Her second husband, Gam Kain, Chazah B'Tshuvah. And that kid lives in Israel till today, very successful, but he never married. And I cry. Okay. In Israel, we have poskim, but not with just poskim. With broad shoulders. Do you know that expression? This is not a simple matter. I mean, you have to know how to learn, and you have to know how to poskim. And here in this Yabia Omer, volume 11, Rav Ovadia takes on cases that are unbelievable, and every case he finds a solution. I also have to add that all these cases, all these questions are a reflection of modern-day Israel, the ingathering of the exiles, the Balei Tshuva, the fallout from the Western world, and all that goes with it. And here I'm quoting on page Shin Samach Aleph, where Rav Ovadia is called upon. He was the former chief rabbi at the time, and the new Ashkenazic chief rabbi was Rav Avram Shapiro. I trust you've heard the name, if not make believe, so the ignorant will pass for the wise. Rav Avram Shapiro, the Sheshiva of Merkhaus, the founder, Talmud from the old world, but he was from the Yeshiva Yashan, but became very close to the Rabbi Cook and Rabbi Cook circles. And he was matir, a lady to remarry. The children shouldn't be mamzerim. And Rav Ovadia agrees with him. What was the story? That this lady who had come in Aliyah from Romania, and this was her first husband, and she claims that in Romania, before she came in Aliyah, this was under the communist jet, but there were rabbanim in Romania. Of all the communist countries, Romania and Hungary were the least oppressive to religion. So she claims she come to Israel, and this is the problem that reflects itself in American Jewish history 120 years ago. In Hollywood, everyone knows each other. I saw on Shabbos, everyone went over to David and gave him Mazel Tov, and to Tanya and gave Mazel Tov. We were very impressed. It's a community. You know each other. You've struggled together. You've been through difficult times, through smachot together. Many of you are not living here just from yesterday. But when you come in Aliyah, or when the immigrants first came to America, no one knew anyone. Who knew I could go? It's the old story. It's a true story. In the 1890s, a rabbi on the east side put up a sign, Chief Rabbi of the United States. So they asked him, who made you chief rabbi? He said, the sign painter. You understand? So here, this lady claims she got a get in Romania. No way to check it out. The communist era. Then when she testifies again, she contradicts herself. Not that she got a get from the hands of the husband with the rabbi and a beit din, but she got the get in the mail. And now you have this terrible problem that the children born from the second marriage in Israel want to get married, and they could very well be mamzerim if there was no get from the first husband, and two, three children are born from a second marriage. And Baruch Hashem, in Israel, we still have children. We have the highest, even among the seculars, so-called, it's the highest birth rate of any Western country. Even in North Tel Aviv, each family has, it's not uncommon to see a family of three is definitely, and even four you will see. North Tel Aviv is an expression. I'll teach you modern Hebrew. Tzfoniyim. You never heard that word, even if you went to Ramaz. Take my word for it. Tzfoniyim, the northerners. It's an expression. North Tel Aviv, civilized, westernized, Mechalalei Shabbos, freedom of choice. Restaurants that are treif, Sarona. If you've been to Sarona, you got to look with a microscope to find the kosher restaurant. So that became an expression in modern Hebrew, Tzfoniyim, the northerners. So the kids want to marry. So here I have to take you in. This is the heart. Of, you read the volume. I thought I gave the world the greatest gift possible. And I said, oh, when this volume came out, if Rav Ovadia were alive, I knew Rav Ovadia quite well, quite well. I taught his daughter, and he was shivering. His daughter, he felt every woman should be a seamstress. And this daughter was his younger daughter, not the famous one. And she went to Michlala, all right? And he was worried what will happen to Michlala. And I was her Rebbe, and I used to get prints from him. You know, when he did an article, Tatpisim, inscribed to me. Later in life, he helped me. If you read Washington, you'll see I came up with some idea, La Hatira Guna, and I had it. Rav Ovadia became my best friend. But that's leave that for another time. So I only want to show this to Rav Ovadia. And the story is as follows. This is a sugya in Gittin, Daf Lamed Bet, Daf Lamed Gimel, Tosfot, all the sources are in here. If you have a shiur, it might be worthwhile devoting a few Sundays to this topic. Now, watch very closely. You give a get, how does a get work? What makes a get a get? A get is not a ketuvah. A ketuvah, you get married, you can take a scrap of paper off the floor, and you say, oh, look, take a look, it's the nusach, it's the format of a ketuvah, and you fill in the names, it's a good ketuvah. A get has to be written, have you ever seen a, David, you've seen a get written, lishma, lishma, lishen gerushin, and they asked you at the right or wrong, at the start and at the end, and this is your kavana, and what makes a get is the kavana. Now, let me tell you a little story, a true story. These ears, eyes, heard and saw. The mid-50s, Moriah Rebbe Rav Soloveitchik, as soon as 25th Yahrzeit, and I'm going to be giving some major talks on the Rav, but it's not in this area. Well, I've become a slave to YU, wherever they put me, I've agreed to speak about my Rebbe, which is my privilege. So let me tell you a little story. The Rav came in, and you know, students are very insightful, and we all have moods. I can come into class flying high, I can come into class a little quieter, but I never am depressed. But we saw the Rav was depressed. You know, an American kid is a chutzpan. Rebbe, was vet v'dach? Was is ach matre dazeh? What is troubling you? And believe it or not, the greatest person I ever knew in my life, Moriah Rebbe Rav Soloveitchik, broke down, took off his glasses like this. If you've seen the pictures in my book of the Rav holding his head, and he told us a story. We were kids, we walked out, we were shaking. What was the story? A girl from Maimonides, from his congregation, his school, went to university, and the first, second year there, she met a boy. And she brings the boy home. Her parents pleaded with her not to marry him. The Rav pleaded with her not to marry him. Nicht frum. And they felt he wasn't a mensch. But love is love. Don't make love at the neighbor's gate. Love is blind, but the neighbors ain't. And if they married, within a few months, she comes back home and pregnant. And who knows, he beat her. And she wants a get. Fine. The boy wants money. The girl refuses to come to get the get. Sie will nicht angucken der Russia. She doesn't want to look at Sule Stakup of my Russia, doesn't want to look at the Russia, who was her husband. So now they made up, they would give a get al Yedei Shliach. This is the Gemara, everyone should recognize it, that they would send a messenger. And she demanded, I don't remember the sum, the Rav either said $5,000 or $10,000. I mean, it's a massive sum. It's like today, these mamzerim demand $100,000. I've seen cases, I'm involved in a case in Baltimore now that is earth-shaking. Unbelievable. Not the famous case. This is a new Baltimore case. And I cry. Good people and what they do to each other. So they agreed that they would give the Rav $5,000 in cash. He's not going to take a check, because you can call your bank and cancel. And the Rav would hold the money in an envelope, and the Rav would be mesadah the get, and then the shliach would go out to deliver the get to the woman who was living a half hour away, and the boy would walk out with an envelope with 5,000 American dollar bills. Fine. But this boy had learned Gemara in his youth. And the Gemara tells us, this sugya, a guy sent the get, the shliach is going to deliver, And he goes before one or two, it depends on how all the sources are here, not a Beit Din, could be one, could be two, Rabbi Avadja plays with it, but it's not a Beit Din. She will never know that he abolished, he nullified the get. He went before one person and said, "I they what I did, I loved my wife, I didn't want to divorce her, I made the mistake of my life. I nullify any intention to give the get." Shlich doesn't know. He goes to the woman, hands her the get. She sees a perfect piece of paper. Beautiful get. She remarries. Has 10 children. He puts up signs all over Boston, all over Hollywood, all over Jerusalem. We call Paskvilers. And no one knows the real, what's the origin of a Paskvila? It seems to be an Arabic word, a noisvaf, a trumpenik, whatever. It puts up Paskvilers. My wife remarried and her get was absolutely no good. She is an adulteress and the children are mamzerim. So the Gemara says, and this is one of the fascinating topics. It's four places in the Gemara. The Gemara says this animal didn't act in a decorous, decent, upright fashion. We're going to teach him a lesson. What does it mean we're going to teach him a lesson? Afkina Rabban in Kedushin Minei. We're going to nullify his Kedushin. In other words, retroactively, when he married this woman, he gave her money. Chazal, the Chachamim declare that money is not his. We make it hefka, ownerless. He didn't give her money. He lived with her. You can gain a woman with relations. So what? We declare these relations to be znut, promiscuous. It's no more than going to a prostitute. He's not married to her. If he's not married to her, she doesn't need a get. If she didn't need a get, she could marry a second time. All the children are kosher v'yasha. Now, that's the Gemara in get. Again, time limits are unbelievable here. To give this properly, I would need a few years. You see, it's 370 pages. But in modern times, the Masham was a Galician posek, Rav Shvadron. I once had a long talk with the Rav about Rav Shvadron and Rav Chaim. The Rav was boasting to me that this one already, I was much older and I knew a little how to learn. And I would talk with the Rav, not as a Talmud, but a Talmud Chavid. There's a bit of a difference. I apologize for saying it. But so the Rav said, my Zayda had the same coolness as the Masham. So I asked the Rav, well, how come your Zayda, Rav Chaim, how come they didn't put your Zayda at the Cherem? So the Rav answers me, he was smart enough not to publish. That was the Rav's answer. So the Masham, Ibrijin, Agarabi, and his Jetra Masham, says, look, if we have a problem today, someone, this very case we're talking about, this woman was married in Romania, she's in Israel, the first husband is in Israel. She remarried again. We're not sure she had a get or had a proper get. We get contradictory testimony. Why not have the first husband do us a favor and give her a get and shliach, abolish the get, negate the get, abrogate the get, and hafkat kedushin, the Gemara comes to life. You did this? We knock it out. No kedushin. The Masham raises it. Rav Yitzchak Isaac Halevi Herzog and the Heichal Yitzchak raises the same question. It was with Yemenites. And what they did here with this Romanian case, they got hold of the first husband. He wasn't a bad man. They were living under communist Romania. They didn't know much about Yiddishkeit. The marriage didn't work out. I need not tell you, under the communists, there was a lot of divorce because marriage was not taken seriously. It's like today, in our day and age, who takes marriage seriously? They put on one shoe, take off another shoe. It's a sad story. It's the Western world. And under the communists, they certainly didn't take it seriously because there weren't apartments available. It's what I spoke about yesterday. So if a boy and girl wanted to get together, they had to get married so they could get a room. So then, a few years later, I remember with the refuseniks year, there was one refusenik went to Haifa, big Talmud Chacham, should live and be well, offered a fortune to go to Baltimore and Israel, refused, remained in Israel. But why did you live in Haifa? Because there are three women running around Israel who use his last name. They're very proud they were once married to him. So two were in Jerusalem. But his third wife, he took to Haifa, Baruch Hashem. So Rav Ovadia agrees with Rav Shapiro that they should do halacha lemaisa, have the man give a get. The woman should be five rooms away in the Beit Din. Right after he gives a get, the shliach should go out, sit down in the next room and have a cup of coffee and a ruggle. And while the shliach is in the other room, the man should say, I abrogate the get in front of one person. Rabbi comes up one person and then do it again in front of another person. And hafkat kedushin. The rabbis retroactively nullified the condition if you do this. And then you have the other factor. Maybe there was a get, maybe there wasn't a get. You have what's called a sfeik sfeika, a double doubt. And nothing stands in the way of a double doubt, even a Torah law. And the woman, her second marriage is legit, retroactively. Children are perfectly good and can marry kedat v'kedin, and Rav Ovadia signs off with Rav Avraham Shapiro. Now, why did I tell you I wish Rav Ovadia were alive? This is the most important page in the entire volume. Actually, an Av Beit Din in this greater area asked me for a copy of this letter many decades ago. Afterwards, quite a few people, Rabbanim Dayanim, and I'll tell you the story behind the letter. If you've noticed, it's on the stationery of the chief rabbi of Israel, Heichal Shlomo. The story is very simple. As I mentioned before, when I came in Aliyah, I saw I'd never make a living, so I attempted to learn Kol HaTorah Kula, and also to pick up as much Torah history as I could. I actually walked the streets of Jerusalem with every survivor from Berlin who knew the Rav in Berlin. It reflects in my writings on the Rav, and it reflects in my lectures. Fine. I heard rumors that this problem had happened in Bnei Brak. And what was the story in Bnei Brak? Very simple. Following World War II, there were hundreds of thousands of Jewish women who survived, who did not know what happened to their husbands. All right, you want to be machmir? So you're telling 100,000 Jewish women of childbearing age, you can't remarry. We wouldn't be here today. I've taught many descendants of these women who did remarry. But how do you remarry? So the Rabbanim would investigate. You had to bring testimony. Where was your husband last seen? Those of you familiar, Rav Moshe Feinstein, the Mincha Chitzchak, Rav Weiss, Manchester. It's all over. Reflected in all the tshuva you will touch of the Ashkenazim, particularly post-World War II. So this lady winds up in Israel. Her husband, whom she loved, adored, was happy with, winds up in Brooklyn. This is before computers. Today you have computers that would make life a lot easier. So you had lists from Hayas, the Jewish agency. When I came in Israel, there was a program once a week. Jews trying to find Jews. Our program on the radio with details, last seen here, family, father, mother, Jews trying to find Jews. What Hitler did to us, when I hear Germany speak out against Jerusalem, I want to get on a plane and drop an atom bomb. I spoke about it in class the other day. And on the other hand, there were Germans who hid Jews and saved Jews. So we can't let our temper get the best of us. But could you imagine what Hitler did to us? So Rabbanim were matir on the basis of halacha. I gave 5 years worth of shirim on this very topic, response to literature during the, and after the Holocaust. It's all recorded, all in Y.U. Torah. And when all is said and done, if you were matir 100,000 women to remarry, we're only human beings. There were mistakes along the way. And this classic story, everyone spoke about it, rabbis whispered it. The man got to Brooklyn and he made a little money. First thing a Jew did in the mid-50s when he made a little money, he came to visit Israel, and the first place he went was Bnei Brak. You don't go to Jerusalem, there's a border city with a wall in the middle, Gunnish McGunnish. Bnei Brak was Panovich Yeshiva already, Rav Kahaneman, Vishnitzer Chassidus. There was something to see. Chazon Ish. So the man got off the El Al plane and went to Bnei Brak. His next morning, walking to shul, he meets his first wife taking her two children from her second marriage to Panovich Yeshiva Latzir Irim, the elementary school, feeder school for Panovich. Could you imagine what I'm saying? Meets his first wife. Well, here you have Kindlach with Payas. Tzitzis and Dreisen, their tzitzis sticking out. Learning in Panovich, and they are seemingly mamzerim. So, rumor had it that the case came to the greatest posek then living in Israel, the Rav of Yerushalayim, Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank. I trust you all recognize the name. He died, I believe it was 1960. My children are very close to his family. His last surviving son was best friends with my daughter and son-in-law and grandchildren. And as a matter of fact, the widow, he just died, Rav Avram died, it has to be 3 years ago now, the widow, I have my youngest grandson from that family, Neria, when I daven with them in the shul they run, so his widow will say to me, "Zelo hanechet shelcha, ze hanechet sheli." She loves this little. He's 21 years old, but to a grandfather he's little. So I was so enthralled. Did he do it or didn't he do it? That letter I showed you was from the chairman of the religious council in Jerusalem, who was an eyewitness to Reb Tzvi Pesach Frank doing exactly what I told you. Had the first husband, he's now in Israel, give a get al yedei shliach, and while the shliach is having a cup of coffee, he's mevatel the get. Retroactively, the first marriage is nullified, the second marriage is legitimate, the children are not mamzerim. So I ask, why didn't Rav Lomulo Pesem it said, why didn't he write it up there, Asfam for Tzvi Pesach Frank? So he quoted Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank to me. I'll never forget this. He said, Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank hat gesagt, ich will nicht die Kinder auf dem Gas. They're laden from me. I don't want the children on the street to talk about me. What it means is most people, unfortunately, don't know how to learn. Shas and Paiskim is a lifetime of work. So you have a lot of frumkeit in the world, but you don't have lamdanit in the world. And people who hear he did this, they won't know what they're talking about. They won't know the Masham. They won't know the Heichal Yitzchak. They won't know the whole background. They won't know the Sidya in Gittin. And Vatzvi Besachrank, Chitir Mamzeirim, Ach, Anoishvaf. I don't want the children to talk about me on the street. So he did it. That's the document. And wow, when I see this volume of Yabia Omer, I can tell you, tshuva after tshuva, he's involved with Afkad Kedushin. I just want to do one more tshuva. When this tshuva circulates, it is a bombshell beyond atomic. I would say this equals hydrogen. And this is Simon Tet. Tshuva's from 19... Let me figure this out. Tashab. It's from 19, it's from 2012. Not so ancient. And here's the tshuva that a woman was married in Jerusalem by the rabbinate, and they separated, and she never received the get. She didn't care. And afterwards, she lived with another man and had a son. Later, she got a get. This boy grew up, and now he wants to marry, and he comes before the rabbinate, and here's the whole story. The mother married, the date, separation, born, son. Only years afterwards does she get a get. This boy, very bad, may be a mamza. All right. Rav Ovadia now has a terrible problem. How do we handle it? Boy can be a tzaddik, as we started the lecture 40 minutes ago. Boy can be a tzaddik. Boy can have payas. Not miss a minyan. Daven three times a day. Glat kosher. However you judge a tzaddik. And he's a mamza. Mother had relations. No get. Boy born. So Rav Ovadia starts researching the first marriage. I know a case where this happened. Also, Rav Ovadia dealt with it, but it was an American story where they brought videos of the wedding, the first wedding, and they were watching everything on the video. Then who the witnesses are, Rav Ovadia finds out one of the witnesses is a lawyer. What does it mean? It doesn't affect you here, but in Israel, watch. One of the witnesses is a lawyer. All right. I have three lawyers in my family. My daughter, two of my granddaughters-in-law, all lawyers. Hey, wait a minute. Are we allowed to go to secular court? Eila mishpatim ashet hasim lifnehem. Chazal already say, you're not even allowed to go to a general secular court, even if the laws are the same as a Jewish court, because you're giving covered to Goyish law, non-Jewish law. You're saying in public, Jewish law is not good enough for me. I'm going to the Gentiles. All right? In Israel, this is a real issue, because you have basically a choice. They're batei dinim, and they batei mishpat. And Rav Ovadia checks, does this lawyer appear in the general courts? And he finds out, yes, takes cases to the general court. Every lawyer, my daughter is the first Tohenet in history, the first female rabbinic lawyer. On the other hand, she saw it's not enough to be a rabbinic lawyer, because in Israel, you get in the Beit Din, but you have a choice over the settlement, the money, joint custody, and all that goes with it. You can either do it in the Beit Din, or you can do it in the Beit Mishpat. So later she went to Hebrew U, my wife babysat, Baruch Hashem, for a flock of little kids at the time. Today they're 6'3", 6'4". But then, and she became a lawyer. No, I have one granddaughter-in-law specializes in malpractice I apologize to the doctors, medical malpractice. The other daughter specializes in international law. So, of course, they're dealing with secular courts. So Rav Avadya says, I know people say that this is a Jewish state. I'm quoting him here. And the courts are filled with Jews and the judges are Jews. But even if they're Shemesh Shabbos, you should see his language. They are Rishoyim Gemurim. And they're Gazlonim, what they paskin, and they take money from one, give to the other, and it's all not in accordance with Torah law. This lawyer, as firm as he is, pusilliated. Then he adds another clause, which comes up very often. He adds another clause that if a woman is illicit in her relations, promiscuous, who said she only lived with this man? Maybe she lived with other men. And maybe one of them was non-Jewish. And maybe this child is from the non-Jewish husband. And all of you know that an illicit relation with a non-Jewish man does not create mamzeret. Mamzeret can only be created when someone has the sanctity of Judaism. So when you negate it, the kid may be a mamza. But if you live with a Gentile, it's not a mamza. He says that's another safek, that maybe she lived with a Gentile, even though it's Israel. But if you just read the latest statistic, we're heading towards 8 million people in the state of Israel, and 6.5 million are Jewish, Kanayin Hara, but the rest are non-Jews, either Muslims or general, meaning Christians, and that includes the Russians, who have not converted, and halachically non-Jewish. So I have to tell you, this volume and what I quoted were just a few examples. You should see how many come up with Balei Tshuva, and how Rav Avadya describes them, that he describes the parents, you know, typical American Jews, you don't even know what the word Shabbos means. Kashrut, antiquated, ancient, who needs kashrut? Government supervision today, you can slaughter a pig under sanitary conditions, who needs kashrut? Tarat mishpacha, we have bathtub showers, jacuzzis, who pools in our backyard? And they mock, and the kid, it's an amazing thing. I'll end off with a good vort on this. So the kid, it's an amazing thing, you'll have parents like that, and kids that are tzaddikim. And then the kid comes, shayma Torah mitzvah, and he finds out his mother, one marriage, two marriages, no get in between. And Rav Avadya, every last tshuva, finds a solution, lahatir mamzeret. So let me conclude, let me summarize. It's a very delicate and difficult issue. It's one aspect of Torah where the Torah itself calls our attention that there's a big contradiction. Children should not perish because of the sins of the parents. And yet you have the concept of Mamzeret. The Medrash Rabban Vayikra says, God cries for these children. Rabbinically, we have traditions. I could spend hours with you on Reb Moshe Feinstein. The way they come up with innovative halachic thinking, lahatir these children. And Rav Avadya here, I thought I had a bombshell here, a document making it available to the world. And Rav Avadya Seifa, oh, halachat kama v'kama. And if I could show him the document, Rav Avadya would add, v'reiti, v'hein reiti, v'chaberi v'talmidi, haravaran rakefet, and he would add, quoting what I showed him here. I want to end off, I promised you a little gift. This question of, take a look, parents at tzaddikim, and kids come out throwing it all away. Then you have the opposite. Parents so distant, and the kids come out tzaddikim. When I was growing up, and I still had the schut to talk and learning with Rabbi Yosef Eliyahu Henkin, You've heard the name. He was the post-sake of America, Rav Henkin. Ach, they don't make Jews like that anymore. When Ezra Steiro offered him an increase of a few dollars a month, he turned it down. He says, I have enough to live on, like Rav Steinman. They don't make Jews like this anymore. So they asked Yosef Eliyahu Henkin, I believe it's printed, I believe his grandson printed it as well, but I know it from Bishat Ma'asa. At the time, it made the rounds all over the American Torah community. They asked Rav Henkin, we cannot understand, how do we understand the Tanakh? Tzaddikim, Rishayim, Rishayim, Tzaddikim. And he answered, Min veis ved the tatas given, min veis nicht ved the mamas given. We know who the father was, we don't know who the mother was. Follow that answer, and boy, is there a lot of insight. Because when all is said and done, the greatest influence on children is the mother. And I prove this time and again. The doctor here, I trust, will agree with me. You go into a hospital, and Nelo Aleinu, people are in a very bad stage, pain, and you'll hear them yelling, Mama, Mama, Mutter, Mutter, Ima, Ima. I've never yet heard anyone yelling, Abba, Abba, Fata, Fata. Okay? So that's Rabbi Yosef Eliyahu Henkin's part. Questions?
First, I just remarked that you look in Melachim, you find that almost every king is identified by his mother, as well as his father. So I want to point out is to show the tremendous influence. So the kings had a million mothers.
Right. But what Rav Yosef Eliyahu Henkin meant, we don't know the quality of the mother. Follow?
The case of where the Rav was depressed, was he willing to do that?
Have caused the issue? So, I'll tell you what happened. You are, Rabbi David Epstein, you're a YU graduate.
But not a rabbi.
But not a rabbi. But a Talmud Chacham. I know your family from, Newark, the year one, right or wrong. I just want to explain. So he asked a very good question. So the Rav told us, I'll say it in Yiddish, I'll translate. Again, I don't realize how old I am. I grew up in a generation where everyone knew Yiddish. You follow me? I had to break my teeth. I didn't know Yiddish. My parents were born in Harlem. But I write about it. I just spoke about it. Harlem was Jewish. This is before the Exodus, before 1920s, before World War I. So... In seventh grade, I had my first Shanghai survivor as a Rebbe. And in eighth grade, I had Rav Henoch Fishman, Shanghai survivor. And I didn't know a word of Yiddish, he didn't know a word of English, but you can conclude the story. And Yiddish actually became my native Torah language. I break into Yiddish and I'm talking in class. And David will testify right away. They shoot me down, English, they're looking at me. Although some of the older people who are my age and older sitting in and listening know Yiddish. So what did the Rav do? So the Rav said, Ich hab Das gut ibe getracht, in ich hab geschrieben a tshuva, et nisch gekennt das Sprach, wie zum Mavatel sein, ich wet matter sein. And the Rav said, I thought it over very deeply, I wrote a rabbinic responsum, and he says the boy had learned in his youth. He said the boy knew a little bit, he went to Talmud Torah and in Boston, the Rav's Talmud Torah taught Gemara. I write about it and I tell stories with Rav Shmuel Belkin. There are all types of stories here. Because Rav Shmuel Belkin taught for the Rav in his advanced Talmud Torah for high school kids. So the kid went into the shtibble where he was crying and as mevatel, but he didn't use a proper lashon. According to the Rav, he didn't know what he was doing. And the Rav said he wrote a tshuva. I want to tell you, if anyone will ever find that tshuva, it will sell. If you see what's going now, if a Rebbe the Rebbe touched the cup, it's $1 million. Follow? If the Rebbe's tshuva will ever be found, I'm afraid he wrote a tshuva, put it into a safe, and if you know Brisker tradition, he probably, at a later date, and if he didn't do it, you got it. If not the kids, his son. I don't have to go further. Are there any more questions from this wonderful audience.
Do you remember when Rabbi Rachman tried to set up a whole Hatzkos?
Do I remember? Absolutely.
And they wiped the floor with them.
The problem with Rabbi Rachman's proposal, do I remember? I lived it. I was in Israel. I knew Rabbi Rachman. I was a Ben Bayit in his house. My chavrita for 51 through 53. Was Michael Rachman. I'm saying I was a Ben Bayit in Rabbi Emanuel Rachman's. I knew him intimately. Right, of course. No, he was... it's a terrible problem. But the question is, we have to be able to solve it halachically. What Rabbi Rachman proposed was widespread annulment of marriage. My next volume, which is already finished, the Malachar is finished, it's now the Avodah. When I mean the Malachar is finished, the manuscript is totally finished. Now, to put the volume, it's a much more difficult volume than this because there's halacha in it and there's a lot more than halacha. There are going to be three different sections. Now, Rabbi Rachman's proposal was wholesale to nullify marriage. The question is whether a Beit Din has that power today. Most absolutely 90% of postums say no. This solution is with the Bittul HaGet. If you can do Bittul HaGet, then Rabbi Rachman's proposal gets off the floor. But the problem is, in order to do Bittul HaGet, A, the first husband has to be alive. Two, he has to be willing. And nowadays, the guy will say, that rotten witch that I was married to, for $1 million, maybe I'll consider it. You follow? So you go back to square one. But Rabbi Rachman, the Rav, you recall, in 1975, the Rav gave a major talk against Rabbi Rachman's proposal. And this continues. The Beit Din today with Rabbi Simcha Krauss, so you notice there was an ad I just saw in one of your freebie papers here about the Beit Din and the Aguna were willing. You know what I'm talking about, Rabbi? Well, yes. They organized. So, yeah, it's been functioning for a number of years. I can't have an opinion because I've never yet seen the papers. But the ad, my wife asked me just last night, gee, this ad is very funny. What does it mean as if to say we can't automatically solve all problems? I said, that is put in the air to caution people like me, don't yell and shout, we're not automatically lahafreya, nullifying kedushin. We can judge every case in individual circumstances. I'll give you two examples where Rabbi Rachman gets off the floor, where the Beit Din of today is using the same thinking, and this goes back to Rabbi Moshe Feinstein. One of our biggest problems, and this is, do you have a minute? This is Rabbi Rachman, okay, this is Rabbi Rachman, and he deals with the issue when the Rav differed with him. Look, in two modern times, a woman was anxious to get married. What does the Gemara say? Tav lemeitiv du me lemeitiv arumala. That the sugya at the end of Baba Kama, Kofiut, I believe, Daf Kofiut. Anyway. A woman was anxious to get married. Why? Women didn't work. Women didn't leave the house. Women needed support. Today already we're living in a different world, and we're not going to change the clock back. I have Rabbi Willer got into a lot of trouble when he said, Halavai, we never taught a woman Gemara. You know what I'm talking about. And it, wow, was the counter-reaction. All right, Rakefet will not say that because they have to deal with the reality. Women today get married older and they're educated and I have students, some of my own doctors are my female students who take good care of the Rebbe. And this is a reality. So women today are more choosy. It's not like the Gemara says, I'd rather be married to any man. He'll support me, give me a ketuvah, work. Today, they may very well be more choosy. And this question haunts us. Now, la halacha, there are two instances where I think there's universal agreement. Both instances show up in Rav Ovadia. Both instances are cited in Rakafet Aharon. And I'll give you an example. This happened in Baltimore. Rabbi Moshe wrote the tshuva. It's written to Rabbi Nachum Dresen. If you own a Negrot Moshe, cross out Nachum. It's written to Rabbi Zev Dresen. Cross out Zev. It's really Nachum Zev Dresen. The story is these were two brothers. Does anyone recognize the names? Rabbi William Dreyson, Zev, and Rabbi Nachum Dreyson, Nathan Dreyson of Baltimore. So Rav Moshe knew the older brother. So when the tshuva was written to the younger brother, who was a practicing rabbi in Baltimore, a very famous rabbi, who was my neighbor in Israel till the day he died. We moved into the new building, 18 Berlin, together in 69. Rav Moshe, the pen slipped. I make this mistake all the time. I'll meet a younger brother and I'll call him by his older brother's name. Fine. What was the case? The person had mental problems. He had been under psychiatric help before his marriage. The girl didn't know about it. And this just came up again in Baltimore, perhaps, with the Epstein case. So many decades later. No relation is right. But Levium.
Is this
Agunah? It was an Agunah. So they were matter on this basis too. So she didn't know. If she would have known, no woman in the year 2019, where we're at, 1 year, we always be 1 year ahead of us. Eitzechu chacham haroet hanolad. You don't open your mouth without thinking of the implications a year from now. This woman, she would marry a guy who's psychiatric, with this psychotic, with problems, and who knows. So he wouldn't give a get. She brought documents. They proved it. Rav Moshe was matecha to remarry on the concept of mekach ta'ut. This was a wedding where it was the wrong merchandise, false merchandise. It's like I sell you a package and I tell you inside the package are 10 volumes of Rakafer Aaron Chelik Gimel, and you open it up and it's 10 volumes of Chelik Bet. No, it's mekach ta'ut. I have to give you back your money. So Rav Moshe was matecha. He has exactly the same case. And he's matir. The Epstein case, from what I know, I never saw the papers. You have to know, the girl involved, her mother had been my student. They called me years ago, but I'm in Israel. I have little contact that can help here, and there's no way I can help if a man wants money. Money, money, meshuggah, crazy, adamant, rude, doesn't care his own reputation, just the hatred. Let me put it this way. I'm going to say something very deep. I don't know if you'll... I told my Talmidim a few weeks ago, I showed the picture of the 5,000 shluchim of Chabad. You saw the picture? It's an unbelievable picture. I said, look at this picture. The Musa movement, Rabbi Yisrael Salanta, going back 1840, 1850. From 1840 until today, the Musa movement influenced less people than you see in this picture. And this is a fact of life. To be a Muslim, to be decent, to care about others, to have empathy. Very few people were self-centered. So they were matir. They were matir on that. But then there was another case. I apologize, there are women present, but what can I do?
Allow.
Matir. Torah ki v'lilmud anitzarich. We have to talk about it. It's Torah. The other case Rav Moshe deals with, and believe it or not, Rav Avadya has exactly the same case. We had a case like this in Michlala in the 70s, I recall. A woman marries a man, late koach gavra. The man is impotent. Now, impotency, most of the time, it's psychological. It's like everyone talks about the homosexuality, gays, lesbianism. 90%, 2% of the time, according to research, it may be inborn, but the rest of the time, it is what we call a result of social, psychological pressure. I can give you stories, you'll see it in a minute. But the man is impotent, and the woman doesn't want to be with him. She married, she wants to have children, she wants to live normally, and he refuses to give a get. Reb Moshe, I quote Reb Moshe, "Ein lacham mekach ta'ut yoter gedolam mizu." There is no greater mekach ta'ut, falseness in sale, than an impotent man. What is marriage all about? And if he doesn't want to get, Reb Moshe is matir without a get. Reb Avadja has exactly the same tshuva, and Reb Avadja quotes the Minchat Yitzchak, who also, this is already from the Eder Charedit, from Manchester, and then Yerushalayim, Eder Charedit, the Minchat Yitzchak, exactly the same. I want to tell you success. In the story in Michala, the guy was a paratrooper. I had done Hezder in Kerem Biafna, was a paratrooper, fought in wars, Giboy Israel, and impotency. Michala sent him for help, and the problem was overcome. It had a very happy ending. And I mentioned that, I give credit to Rabbi Koopman. You know, a lot of people will criticize that he moved to right. This was a case that I know of where the Michala paid the money for the psychological help and guidance. So Baruch Hashem.
They stayed married.
Yeah, they stayed married. They have children today. They have grandchildren. It's many years later. Thank you very, very much. Niskela Hadil Torah Lahadira. Like that.